Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to be in the last three verses of chapter 4 and the first 10 verses of chapter 5. As we look to Jesus, He is the great high priest. This is an encouraging blessing of a Bible study. It's blessed my heart all week just looking at this scripture. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. But many here today, and many watching online with us today, are believers, but not all. But one thing is true, we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to win people to Christ and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded His church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus truly is wonderful. There's no turning back. That's the message of today's text. It says in the first verse, it says in the first verse of our text, which is chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. The Hebrew believers were being persecuted. The pressure was on. And because of that, some of them had had their grips upon their confession of faith in Christ, but their grips began to weaken. And because of that, we're being reminded today that Jesus is our great high priest. What Christ has done for you and I demands that we hold on to our profession of faith and demands that we remain true to the commitment of our faith. In other words, there's no turning back. You heard the story of Hernando Cortez, the Spanish explorer that came to Mexico to discover that part of the world and to claim it for Spain. I think he had about 10 ships and they all pulled in. Can you imagine the cargo? I think I read where they had 500 people. They had 13 horses. And so they unloaded all of this stuff and they all got on the sand. And I'm sure they looked back at the ships and they thought, boy, you know, we could always get on there and go back. And then they looked into this land they had never seen before and they wondered, how many of us will be alive this time next year if we stay here? We've got to discover this. We've got to claim it for Spain. And so they all got on the land, and Cortez said, burn the ships. There's no going back. My prayer for us is that when Satan tries to worm his way into our heart and life and say to us, you know what? This faith that you have put your trust in, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tries to weaken that we would say, oh no, our ships are burned. We have no going back because of what Christ has done for us. Let's read about it, and let's see what God says about how we are to remain strong and holding our fast to our confession, all right? So I'm going to read the text. This is chapter 4, verses 14 through the first 10 verses of chapter 5. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from mine. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 1 of chapter 5, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Verse 5, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, in verses 14, 15, and 16, you have some major, major theology and points there that we are to look at. And then verses 1 through 10 in chapter 5 reinforce that. As a matter of fact, verses 1 through 4 talk about the human priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, and how he was chosen by God to be a priest, and how he made a sacrifice for himself before he went in to to make a sacrifice for the people. And then in verse 5 and following, it talks about how Christ is a greater priest even than Aaron. Now, folks, we have to understand a little bit about the Old Testament and about the sacrificial system. You know, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest chosen by God would go in on behalf of the people, and they would sacrifice an animal. It shows the significance of what is needed in order to atone for the sins of man. And yet that priest would go in one time each year. He would have to make a sacrifice for himself because he was a sinner. He was a sinner, and he had to be atoned for himself, and then he would go in behind the veil. This was the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and then ultimately in the temple, and he would go in behind the veil. This one man could go in there one time a year. They said they would tie a rope around his ankle because if he went in there and he was not right with God, his own sin was not atoned for, then he would die on the spot. And anybody that went in there to get him would die as well because they were not prepared to go in. And so they tied that around his ankle so they could pull him out of there if somehow God was not pleased with his sacrifice. And so that is the sacrificial system. Now here's what happened. That high priest would go in once a year to atone for the sins of the people of the Old Testament. Well, Jesus Christ is our great high priest, and let me tell you what he did. He's gone in one time for all eternity because of his blood, the pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, having no spot, no wrinkle, no sin. He made that sacrifice, and because of that, we are blessed. So we're going to look at how Christ is our great high priest today. Here's the first thing that I want you to write down. I want you to think about this. Number one, Jesus represents you. In verse 14, it says he's our great high priest. He is the great priest. Jesus was better than the prophets, it says in the beginning of Hebrews. Remember all these things we've studied up to this point. He's greater than the prophets. You remember we talked about angels. Jesus is greater than angels. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than Joshua. Now, none of the atonement that took place could have happened without priests. And so God created the priesthood, and Aaron, all that followed Aaron were those that were representative of the high priest who would go in and make that sacrifice. And yet the point is being made that For us, we don't need a priest of Aaron. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our priest who will atone for sin. Aaron passed through the tabernacle until he got to the Holy of Holies. I want you to look at our text here in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now look what he's passed through, who has passed through the heavens. When it says that, you know, Paul mentions there's a third heaven. There's like a first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. There's some debate about all that means. But the scripture, now some of your versions may say he passed to the heavens. The real way that should be interpreted is the way it's read in my particular version, and it's passed through the heavens. Jesus bolted through. When he ascended, he passed through all of the heavens, and he's seated at the right hand of God. And so Jesus is superior to Aaron in this way. He made atonement once and for all. So he is better than Aaron. He is better than Aaron. Jesus passed through to the supreme place. Jesus Christ is permanently the human priest. Aaron would go in once a year into the presence of God. Jesus Christ has permanently set down in the presence of God. So he's there in the supreme place. God is permanently in God's presence. And then in verse 14 it says this. He has, it says, he, a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. When it talks about the word Jesus, that shows his humanity. That's his name. Jesus, his humanity. But then it says, the Son of God. That emphasizes his deity. Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% man. He was the infinite God-man. And so we see that emphasized here. And the Bible says that he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, when you think about him as our high priest, I want you to take your Bible, and I'm just going to go to a couple of verses in the book of Hebrews. Look at chapter 7, verse 25. Chapter 7, verse 25. It says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So as our high priest, he saves to the uttermost. One pastor said, he takes a man from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's what Jesus Christ does in our life. Okay? Look at chapter 8, verse 1. All of Hebrews is making this point that Jesus is our great high priest. In chapter 8, verse 1, it says this. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Look at chapter 9, verse 12. Just keep turning pages here. Chapter 9, verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, that was the old way, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, the Bible says, having obtained eternal redemption. Go to chapter 9, verse 24. It says, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. In other words, through the heavens, and he's seated at the right hand of God, now to appear in the presence of God for us. In the Old Testament, Aaron went in once a year to represent the people. The Lord Jesus Christ, as high priest, has gone in once for all to make that difference for us. Look at chapter 10, verse 12. Chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Go to chapter 12 and verse 2. This will be our last one. Chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, this is where we get the theme of our entire study here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now go back to chapter 4, verse 16. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Aaron. Can I tell you what he's done? He represents you. The Lord Jesus Christ represents you as a high priest. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you're not the beneficiary of a man going in and making a once a year atonement for your sins, you are the beneficiary of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus, who spilt his own precious blood, who took his own blood once and for all. That's the key. It does not need to be done again. Ladies and gentlemen, when you realize what Jesus Christ has done for us, we ought to hold fast to the commitment we have made and the confession of our faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, look at chapter 5. We're going to look at some of these other verses in the first 10 verses of chapter 5 because they talk about this priesthood. And it says that in chapter 5, verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. All right? So it was important that it was a man who represented the men, okay? In the same way, or mankind, it was a member of mankind that represented mankind. Well, in the same way Jesus Christ was incarnated, he came on this earth to be a man. He was 100% man, but he was also 100% God, and he shared in that and became the high priest. In verse 4, look at this. It says, and no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Well, Jesus Christ was called by God just as Aaron was, because into verse 5, it talks about that. Look, it says, it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. A quote from the Psalms. Today you have entered an office. When it says, today I have begotten you, it means you have entered a new office. And then in verse 6, it says, as he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. All right, now, let me see your Bible. Hold it up. You got a Bible with you? Oh, I love that. Wonderful. When we were doing teenage work, sometimes we'd say, all right, look, we've got teams here, Chris. We'd have like the red team and the blue team. We'd say, all right, we're doing a Bible count. And we'd divide the congregation in half, kind of like what we've got here. Hey, we could do it. Let's do a Bible count. Okay, over here, how many of you got a Bible? Let me see your Bibles. Okay, I'm just going to do this by looks here. Okay, I think we got a little bit more, maybe a few more people over here. Okay, we used to actually count them. 1, 2, 3, blah, blah, blah. All right, how many got a Bible over here? Oh, man, this side kills this side over here. Unbelievable, man. These people over here, they got Bibles, man. I love it. Well, anyway, how did y'all get me off on that, by the way? How did y'all get me off on that? Anyway, oh, I know what it was. Go back to Genesis. That's what it was all about. No, I'm kidding. Both of y'all had good representation on your Bibles, okay? Go back to Genesis chapter 14. I want you to see this about Melchizedek. Who is this character? Melchizedek. Look at Genesis 14, verse 18. Lot had been taken, and he was delivered, and Abraham was there. And the scripture says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem. Now, many believe that that was another name for Jerusalem at that time. That part, that particular place in Palestine, this was the king of Salem. He brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God, of the God Most High. So think about this. Melchizedek was not just a priest. Now, Aaron was a priest. Jesus was not of the order of Aaron. He was from the order of the priest Melchizedek. Well, Melchizedek was not only a priest, but Melchizedek was a king. And look what it says. It says, he brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. Now, this is interesting. This is not the main subject, but when you think about giving, people always wonder, should we tithe? Well, you know, tithing was definitely a part of the Old Testament law, but we know Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament law, and we find in Scripture where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he says, I know that you tithe of mint and cumin, But he said, you missed the big things. He said, these things you ought to have done. So Jesus does not, Jesus actually validates tithing and giving in that way. Tithing, the word tithe means a tenth. I think it's a wonderful reminder. I had a pastor one time that said, every time the offering plate comes by, of course, we're not passing offering plates now, but he said this, every time the offering plate comes by, I put something in it as a reminder to me that God owns it all. I think tithing, my father-in-law taught me this when I was a college student at North Central. He said, tithing is not God's way of raising money. Tithing is God's way of raising his children. The truth of the matter is the nerve that runs from a man's wallet or a lady's wallet to their heart is very sensitive. And I found this. Freedom comes when you live life with an open hand. And tithing is a reminder to you. It's a reminder of the program of God to fund his work. And it's a reminder of you that God owns it all. Well, it's interesting that Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, and there was no law yet. So if you really want to argue about tithing as an Old Testament thing, well, tithing happened before there was ever an Old Testament law, when there was a command to tithe of the Old Testament saints. But the reason we've looked in, go back to Hebrews, but the reason we looked into that is, who is this Melchizedek guy? He was a guy of the priesthood that lasted forever. It was not a priesthood based upon a man like Aaron, where there was a succession of priests. And so Jesus, as our great high priest, was a priest of the order, or of the same kind, that means, of the same kind as the order of Melchizedek. And so we find that Jesus Christ, he represents you to God. Aaron represented the people to God. The Lord Jesus Christ does that, but he also represents God to man. He brought God to man through his death on the cross. And so here's the thing. We look unto Jesus. He is the great high priest. We hold fast to our confession. Why? Number one, because Jesus represents you. Here's number two. Lord, I love this. We sang about this today. Jesus understands you. Look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. The word sympathize means to come alongside. Jesus became a man, and Jesus had human weaknesses. Now, he didn't have sin. He was all God. The Bible says that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot tolerate sin. So he did not have a sin nature as we have a sin nature, and yet he did experience things as a man. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. What do you think about when Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus wept. He wept because Lazarus had died. You think about the pain he experienced when his family did not believe in him. They sort of chided at him when he was announcing that he was God's son. When his family did not believe in him, what did that feel like? Or rejection from others. When he cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, Jesus said. And the Bible says he was sweating drops of blood in such agony. And so then it says, in all points, in verse 15, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Leon Morris, the great Bible scholar, he said this. He said, we must not infer that life was easy for Jesus. We give in before the temptation has fully spent itself. Also, he who does not yield knows its full force. Here's the idea. The devil comes and he's tempting Robert and I in something. Let's just say pride. And he comes to me and he turns the screws down on temptation for me to be prideful. And so at the level 3 of his temptation, I give in. So what have I experienced? I've experienced level 3 of the temptation of that the devil places upon me in pride. Robert's a better guy than I. Robert at 3, he's still holding. But then it goes to 4, and the devil throws something else at Robert to make him prideful, and he twists it a little tighter. Robert handles the 4. Good job. But then he throws a 5 at him. In other words, the devil tightens down harder until we capitulate. The truth is, we fail, don't we? Shake your head. That means yes. Okay, thank you. We fail. Jesus never capitulated. So Satan threw his full force at the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ never yielded. Listen, you know what? He can sympathize with your weakness because I tell you, he took the full force. Everything you've ever experienced in weakness and temptation, Jesus took the full bore of it. He can sympathize with our weakness. There's not anything that we have experienced. There's not any temptation that we have that Jesus has not felt it and Jesus has not sensed it. And yet, the Bible says, yet without sin. He can sympathize with our weakness. In all points, he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. We see in chapter 5, going down there in our text here, chapter 5, verse 2, it says, he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray. Now, he's talking about the human priest. He's not really referring to Christ there, but in that truth, we find that they chose a priest that was a man and someone, it says, who could have compassion. And that is the idea that he can relate. The high priest was worried to go in the Holy of Holies because he knew he had sin. And so he had compassion for those he was representing. He had compassion for himself, and yet he knew the justice of God and there had to be atonement. And so you see in the Lord Jesus Christ the perfect balance of this as it's described in the human priesthood of Aaron. It says he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Now, the Lord Jesus was not subject in that way. In verse 3, it actually says, because of this, he is required as for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifices for sins. Aaron had to sacrifice for himself before he went in. The Lord Jesus Christ did not have to do that. But yet this illustration of the human side illustrates that the Lord Jesus can sympathize. So we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In verse 7, the scripture says this, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. I think is a reference here to the Garden of Gethsemane. Y'all remember going to Gethsemane in Israel? We took a trip a couple years back and we went to this place in the Mount of Olives and they had olive trees that were hundreds of years old. And they had places where they believed Jesus walked and things like that. It was amazing. But to think that the Lord Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Not that he was wanting to get out of the crucifixion, but yet to say, Lord, will you deliver me out of death? Will you raise me? Will this all be accomplished? And the Bible says that in his prayer, in his desperate prayer to his Lord, and of course, he was all alone, and he was sweating drops of blood, the Bible says, in consternation in prayer. And here's the, the scripture in verse 7. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Lord, would you save me from death? Would you let this cup pass from me? And was heard because of his godly fear. Verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus understands you. He understands our weaknesses. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And the scripture says we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. The message is more powerful just realizing that Jesus understands us. There's not anything that we're going through he doesn't understand. It's not like he's just up here saying, yeah, I've never experienced that, but y'all just get it together. No, he came to this earth and he experienced the temptations that we experience. Matter of fact, we give in at a level 3 or 4. He took the full brunt. So I can promise you there's not anything that the devil throws our way that we can't understand that our Lord is sympathetic because he's experienced that. Saint Damian of Molokai was born in 1840, died in 1889. He was a missionary to Hawaii. Through the years in the 1800s, travelers that would come there had brought diseases. They bought whooping cough, they brought all kinds of stuff, but they brought leprosy. And the people didn't understand leprosy at that time. And so they said, you know, all I know is this is somehow spread. And so what they did was they took all the people that showed leprosy and they took them to a place called Molokai. It was an island. And they put them all there. Damien wanted to take the gospel to those people. And he would get up and he would say, brethren, when he was preaching, he'd say, brethren, let's open the text. And he would be preaching, and he would say, brethren, and he would give them the text. After 11 years of ministering to those people, he got leprosy. And the quote that I was trying to find here in my notes, here's the quote. He said, I make myself a leper with the lepers to gain all to Jesus Christ. That is why in preaching, I say now, we lepers and not my brethren. So what was happening is he was getting up every Sunday and saying, my brethren, let's look at what the Bible says. Of course, he didn't have leprosy. They did. But after he contracted leprosy, he got up and he said, we lepers, let's look at the scriptures. He was one of them. And he was revered. He was revered by those people because he was willing to be with them to the point. He didn't intentionally do it, but he ended up contracting leprosy and identified so greatly with the people of that island in Hawaii. Can I tell you this? Jesus is our great high priest. He represents you, but never forget this. He understands you. Here's the third thing. Jesus provides a way for you. One of the greatest verses of Scripture is chapter 4, verse 16 that says this, let us therefore. In other words, because Jesus is our high priest, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. If you look over at chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, we reinforce this by saying this, talking about the Lord Jesus as our high priest, and having then perfected, in other words, he's completed it, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The obedience of faith. What does that mean to all who obey him? All who obey him by putting their faith and trust in him. Jesus Christ made a way. We used to sing that chorus, God can make a way when there seems to be no way. Jesus is the one who made a way as the high priest. And he comes to you and offers you salvation. He comes to you as a believer and sympathizes with what you're going through and says, I am representing you before the Father. And it says in verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, and here it is again, according to the order or likened unto Melchizedek. Now, back in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly. We can come. Can I tell you this? When you know Jesus and he's your high priest, you don't need another man. You don't need anybody else. Now I'm a pastor, and I like the fact that I'm a pastor, and I get to preach and everything. Got to tell you this, you don't need me to talk to Almighty God. Aren't you glad? I'd cut some of y'all off probably. I wouldn't. Because I know y'all be ugly to me too, so I'd be ugly to you. Listen, you don't want me as a priest. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need anybody else. So you yourself can come boldly to the throne of grace. What an amazing offer the Lord has given us. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. This is the only place that's mentioned like this in the whole New Testament in verse 16, that we may find mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now look at this. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Boy, I sure am glad I've got mercy from the Lord, aren't you? Somebody said, boy, I really think I should get what I deserve on this. I don't. Maybe there's something in business or something you're referring to, but I tell you, with the Lord, I'm glad I have mercy because I'm not getting what I do deserve. You know what grace is? Grace is getting something you don't deserve. I don't deserve Kelly. Say amen. You know that. You know that. But the Lord in his grace gave me Kelly. That's grace, getting something you don't deserve. And the Bible says because of what Jesus has done, he's made a way. And he provides a way for you. And we can come boldly to him to find mercy and grace to help. Now, I love this right here. In time of need. You know what that means? At the right time. In a timely manner. In a timely manner. In other words, when you need it. I think about people, and I've seen this as through the years. I'll never forget, I think I've told you the story of one of my former teenagers. He grew up and got married and had a little baby. The little baby died. And he called me and said, Reverend Carr, he said, when I was at camp, when I was a teenage boy, you were my cabin counselor. He said, and you led me to Christ. He said, would you come and preach my baby's funeral? Man, I was a youth pastor, had not been doing that a long time. I was trying to get up the lesson for Wednesday night for the teenagers. I didn't have a clue what to say at a funeral for a baby. And I saw that man and his wife, how God gave them grace. You know what? You know what grace they needed? They needed that grace at that time. I didn't have that grace. I was thinking about how in the world are they going through it. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says he gives us the grace and mercy that we need in our time of need. What is it you need? Do you need dying grace? He'll give it to you. Do you need hurting grace? Our world is hurting. Sometimes believers are hurting. I know folks, even right now, we could call out names of people whom we love in this church family that are hurting right now. Well, God gives hurting grace. Maybe you're being made fun of. You need being made fun of grace because of the way people are treating you. Grace for missions. You say, man, I can't. Old John and Molly, they're going to Malawi. I can't believe they're doing that. Well, you know what? God's giving them grace. And he's giving us grace for giving grace that we can help them go. Grace for missions, witnessing grace, disease, grace, whatever it is, he gives us mercy and grace to help at the right time, in a timely way, in our time of need. So what are we to do? We're to hold on. I love telling this story. I've never seen it actually done, but I had a friend of mine who said, Calvin, you ought to come out late at night. He had a cabin in Glenville, Georgia, and he said, you ought to come out, man. The hog man's coming. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, he shows up late at night. He's got pit bulls, and he comes late at night when it gets real dark, and he said, man, you ought to see these guys. They're just like, they're so happy that they're going to go hog hunting. And I said, well, what do they do? He said, well, I go on to bed. He goes, they come to the door, they knock on the door and say, we're here. We're going to be out hunting on your property tonight. And he said, they go late at night. And he said, man, you hear, roar, roar, they're barking and everything. And they got pit bulls. And he said, those pit bulls, they go out and they find a hog and they bite on the ears of those hogs. No, I'm kidding. My brother Carlton. I was going to demonstrate that, but then I said, that's not a good idea. But anyway, those pit bulls, they grab and then they pull them down to the ground just like that and they holler. And then those men come along and they take them alive. The idea is they're going to capture them and they'll take them off to another hunting camp so somebody can hunt them, is what they do. Well, he said about 5 o'clock in the morning, they'll come up and knock on the door again. I'll come to the door and open the door. And he said, they'll have hogs in the back of their pen with that pit bull. Why do they use pit bulls? He told me a pit bull clamps. He doesn't let go. Now, other dogs, Robert says, oh, he bit me. That dog bit me. Well, a pit bull, and he puts it like in lockjaw. Now, some of y'all know more about dogs than I do, and you may correct me on this, but this is what I've been told. They lock in like that, and they don't let go. I think, and I used to tell young people this, young people, listen, you gave your life to Jesus. The devil is after you, but don't you let go. You hold on. Hold fast to the confession of your faith because it's worth it. Jesus Christ is your high priest. Nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. Nobody has experienced it and sympathized with the temptation you experience, the difficulty you come in contact with, because Jesus will give you mercy and grace to help. When? In time of need, in a timely way. I think, well, nobody likes to think about dying. I still feel like a college kid. I feel like I'm going to live another 100 years. But you know what the reality is? Well, you know. Don't say it out loud. Mr. Brandon used to tell me, Calvin, outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed. I've always felt like I was a college kid. I always felt like I could, because that's when I really turned my life over to Christ in a big way, right in my junior year in high school, and then I came to North Central, and man, Jesus did a great work, and it was wonderful. I met Kelly here, and I've just always felt like, man, dying, if I get to thinking about it, I get nervous. Are you like me? I don't know what's out there in eternity. But let me tell you something encouraging. I don't have dying grace now. You know why? I'm not dying. Yet. But one day, my great high priest, and by the way, I have seen this as a pastor over and over again. Great saints of God who come to their last days and God gives them supernatural dying grace. He gives it to them at the right time. So I don't know what you're going through, but Jesus Christ, your high priest, why don't you come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. This is my need. And the Bible says he'll give you mercy and grace to help in a timely way. So here's the question. Do you know Jesus personally? Do you have him as your high priest? Here's the second question. as a believer in Jesus Christ, are you like that pit bull? Hold on. It's worth it. Hold on. Jesus Christ sympathizes and understands what you're going through. No one, there's an old gospel song that used to go, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. It's true. Jesus took the full brunt of everything we've ever faced, and he won the victory for us. He is our great high priest. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.